And we are back. I'm Leslie Marshall, and joining us in the second half of this hour, glad to have with us Senior Director for Gun Violence Prevention at American Progress, Nick Wilson. He leads the organization's efforts to reduce gun violence and shrink the footprint of the criminal justice system while improving public health and safety. And before joining AP, American Progress, he was the Associate Director of Policy Planning and Coordination at the Baltimore City Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement. Now, in addition to researching gun violence at nonprofits here in Los Angeles, where I live, in New York, where I was just yesterday. He was the executive director of States United to Prevent Gun Violence and the Maine Gun Safety Coalition. Are you a Maine guy? I'm from Boston. We're neighbors. He earned a degree in poli-sci from the University of California, LA, UCLA, which, by the way, is almost as hard to get into Harvard nowadays. And speaking of, he got a master's in public policy from Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, a school I'm hoping one of my children will go to. Mommy got in, but couldn't get enough financial aid. Anyway, good to have Nick Wilson with us, Senior Director for Gun Violence Prevention at American Progress. Please check out the American Progress website. That's AmericanProgress.org. Nick, his handle on X is at Nick Wilson B. Sounds so cool. Like he's going to sing on, you know, one of those talent shows we watch on TV. Nick, thank you for joining us and welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here on this beautiful Friday in D.C. And thanks for that wonderful introduction.
Well, absolutely. You've done that all. You've done that all. Are you from Southern Cal, or are you from Maine?
I'm from Southern California, but I did have family from the greater Boston area. So kind of retracing my roots up there in Maine.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay, where in SoCal? And then we'll get to the interview.
I'm from Southern Orange County originally, but then stayed in L.A. for quite a while. I consider that kind of my where my heart is these days.
So you're an OC boy. Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, my roots these days are in Pasadena, so you know the area. And now all of the lunatics that want to kill me have a smaller target to find me, right? Anyway, just joking, not entirely. But let's talk about something that was no joke and something that I felt got overshadowed a bit by what's going on with, you know, the protesting on college campuses, by what's going on, you know, with Israel and the, you know, Palestinian people in the territory of the Gaza Strip. You know, certainly what's going on in the House or what's not going on in the House, whether it's the antics of Marjorie Taylor Greene, Johnson trying to get votes and trying to get money, you know, over a finish line. And of course, the trial and Trump. I mean, the list goes on. But something that should have been, you know, a major headline and should have been up alongside all of those issues, in my opinion, was a major step that this administration, the Biden administration, took toward closing gun show loopholes, requiring thousands more dealers to run background checks. Now, let's talk about this because, you know, we have, I think, the highest approval rating of anything in this nation on background checks, right? On closing that loop, background checks, it's, you know, universal background checks, it's what, like 90, insane, right? You know, 97% or something. I mean, you can hardly get people on left and right to agree on anything. This is something they can agree on. And this is something that could save lives. So tell us what the Biden administration did, what major step they took, what they did and why this is important.
Thank you so much for bringing attention to this really impressive victory. As you said, has been a little overshadowed by some of the events, but as someone who's been working in gun violence prevention for over a decade, it's hard to overstate how significant this victory is. Since the Brady Bill in 1993, we haven't really seen much change to our background check system. And universal background checks, you know, background checks just meaning that people have to go through an instant check to make sure that they're not prohibited by law from because they're a felon or a domestic abuser. Underage, you know, it's important that we do these background checks and enforce the laws on the books, but the lack of universal background checks, it really undermines the effectiveness of every other gun safety law that's in existence. We can say, oh, you know, you have a red flag or extremist protection order, maybe you shouldn't have a gun because you're at risk to yourselves or committing a mass shooting. Well, if you could just go to a gun show or meet someone in a Walmart parking lot and buy an assault rifle, no questions asked, no IDs, it really undermines every other public safety effort we have. So when we're told, why don't you just enforce the guns on the books by the gun lobby? Well, this is a huge loophole that makes it really impossible. And so after almost 30 years of no federal gun laws, finally Congress came together after Uvalde and Buffalo back-to-back shootings and said, enough is enough. The American public are demanding action. And they put together a compromise bill of, you know, billions of dollars investments in schools and mental health services for children. But in there was a provision to finally close this gun show loophole, or as we say, engaged in the business, a less sexy way of saying that, you know, if you have a couple extra guns and you want to sell one to, you know, your good friend, then maybe it's not a big public safety risk to do that. But if you're going to gun shows and you're making your living off of selling guns, dozens of guns a year, if you're advertising online or in, you know, print ads, then you're a gun seller and you need to follow the rules that all gun sellers have to follow, which is do a background check, maintain the records, et cetera. And so this is a huge deal, and it took a while for it to be proposed. We sent over 300,000 comments as a gun violence movement of individuals demanding that more action be taken. And we finally got the announcement, and it's the biggest accomplishment for background checks in decades.
You know, when I posted, you know, when this Biden administration rule came out, you know, when I posted online, of course, there are people who are like, they do background checks, you know, you lefties, blah, blah, blah. But I have to tell you, so I have a personal experience with this. Years ago, I lived in Sacramento, California. I didn't live there. I actually lived in San Francisco. I was working at a station in San Francisco and Sacramento and did that 90-mile each way commute because I was newly married and in love, but and crazy, obviously, right? But I was in Sacramento and I was going to be doing an hour that week on gun control, gun violence, you know, on the show. And there was a gun show in Sacramento. And it wasn't like at Joe's Barbecue in his backyard. This was like at the convention center. It was, you know, it was a place like that. So my producer and I went, and I pretended I was going to buy a gun. I hate guns. I don't have them. I don't want to stop you from having one. I just don't want you and your gun near me, you know, and that's why I want more restrictions on you and your gun, you know, to make sure I'm safe, right? So I, you know, pretended to try to buy a gun. There was no waiting. There was no waiting. I could have walked out of there with a handgun in my purse, gone to another table, bought ammunition, left there, and, you know, blown people away in the parking lot if I, you know, were a cray-cray criminal. And so when people say, oh, you know, they do, you know, background checks. No, not necessarily. Part of the problem is also many of these dealers, they're unlicensed. They're just, you know, it's almost like somebody pretending to be a doctor, right? They're not an MD. They just put a sign in the window and they're treating you, but, you know, there's no training behind that. And that's what the rule aims to close in this loophole, right? Because this loophole has allowed tens of thousands of guns to be sold every year by these unlicensed dealers. They're not licensed. They're not performing the background checks. And, you know, it's essential that this is done. I also want to speak to, this is an election year, right? This really matters when you look at the breakdown in issues that, you know, different demographics of the voter population care about. And I was surprised how much the younger people who vote, the youth voters, care about gun violence. Gun violence is an issue that deeply resonates with this section of the demographic of voters, correct?
Exactly right. Vice President Harris, especially, who leads the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention that President Biden set up earlier last year, you know, she's made this a center point for her campaign and talking to young people. In addition to young people, Latino population, this is a top three issue that's motivating them to go to the polls, same with AAPI community. People don't feel safe in their community because of the weak gun laws. And so this is a really a tangible step forward. You know, there's still a private sale loophole that Congress needs to finally close, but this is going to make that 20,000 estimated people that make their living selling guns that are not registered and not licensed, they're gonna have to now start following the rules. And while most people, when they buy a gun, they do go through a background check, for people that are prohibited and want to cause violence in our communities, this is a loophole that they exploit. The ATF, the federal agency that's in charge of enforcing our federal gun laws, they recently came out with the first estimate in 20 years of where these illegal guns are coming from. And 40% are coming from these unlicensed dealers. And so this is, you know, we can keep going after the licensed dealers, but they've been cleaning up their act because of enforcement. Now it's time to go after those that are profiting off of violence in our communities.
Especially when almost half, you know, are traced back to that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Nick Wilson. Nick is Senior Director for Gun Violence Prevention at American Progress. Check out their website, AmericanProgress.org, and follow him on X at Nick Wilson B. We will be back with him and you right after this. Don't go away. We are back. V or me, Leslie Marshall and Nick Wilson. He is Senior Director for Gun Violence Prevention at American Progress. Nick, thank you for holding. Welcome back. Check out their website, AmericanProgress.org, and Nick's handle on X is at Nick Wilson B. Nick, thank you for holding. Welcome back. We, Nick and I, are talking about the Biden administration's major step toward closing that gun show loophole, requiring thousands more dealers to run background checks. You know, also, will this be something, you know, pretty much is it guaranteed that gun rights groups are going to try to fight in court? Is that pretty much, you know, a guarantee at this point?
During the advocacy process and education process with the Department of Justice, as they were finalizing this rule and we were providing feedback, that was always front of mind, making sure that it is able to stand up to any legal challenges, as well as with any proposed rule, Congress has 60 days to try to overrule it. And unfortunately, there's still a few there's still quite a few senators that put gun industry profits over the lives and safety of its constituents. And so with this rule, we're going to have to really protect our wins, as well as a new rule that just came out today from the Biden administration, where the Department of Commerce is strengthening the regulations for exporting U.S. firearms to countries with human rights abuses and national security threats. So we're always being vigilant to make sure that we protect these wins. But it's really exciting to have so many positive pieces of news to really celebrate after decades of inaction at the federal level.
Well, speaking of action, the president said, quote, "I've spent hours with families who've lost loved ones to gun violence. They all have the same message. Do something. Today, my administration is taking action to make sure fewer guns are sold without background checks. This is going to keep guns out of the hands of domestic abusers and felons. And my administration is going to continue to do everything we possibly can to save lives. Congress needs to finish the job and pass universal background checks legislation now." And I'm glad that, you know, he mentioned that, you know, last line there. And the reason is the president, and people think like the president doesn't have a magic wand. I mean, the president can only do so much. We have, you know, three, you know, separate but equal branches of government. And, you know, he can only do so much. Why do you think that this comes down to a left, right, or red, blue, you know, progressive, conservative kind of issue or even divide when you have almost unanimous support for universal background checks legislation to be passed?
For so long, I would say that the gun lobby and the gun rights movement, they were single issue voters, and this is what they cared about. And people on the other side were concerned about education and the economy. But we really do, part of the reason why the gun violence prevention movement is having the successes we're having is because more people, especially young people, are saying, no, this is the number one motivating issue. I think some of the older senators and congresspeople, they remember when the NRA was so dominant and had deep coffers and could punish. And I think it's taking a while for them to realize that the NRA is not what it used to be and that they're going to be voted out of office if they don't act. And that's why, you know, more than 10 Republicans supported the Bipartisan Safer Community Act. They realized that it was time to do something. And now we need to build on that momentum, show them that this is a winning issue and it shouldn't be partisan. Rural gun violence is just as dangerous and as common as urban gun violence. There's no population that is safe from gun violence in our communities with mass shootings on the rise. So I think that there's a lot of progress, but it's still difficult. I mean, this year, Congress cut the ATF budget by $50 million. And this is going to make it harder for them to hold the people accountable, trafficking guns into our communities accountable. And so we need to continue to do this fight. But I think there's a lot of concerns that, you know, the conservative movement is built on, well, we can have our firearms in case we need to overthrow the government, which, you know, is, I roll my eyes too, because, you know, we have, the government has predator drones and other things. It's not really realistic, but I think there's these people are clinging to the myth that guns make us safer and that you need to have a gun to be safe. And so it's going to take a while to change that narrative, but it's happening slowly.
Yeah, you mentioned the vice president. Vice President Kamala Harris did note that this is the 25th anniversary month of the mass shooting at Columbine High School. That was carried out with weapons purchased through the gun hole loophole. She also pointed out about the 2019 shooting in Midland and Odessa, Texas, the two shootings. That was a man that killed seven people, wounded dozens of others. And a background check stopped the shooter from purchasing a gun at a sporting goods store in 2014. But then he purchased an AR-15 from an unlicensed, it seems to be, you know, the mass shooting weapon of choice, from an unlicensed seller he met online. So he could have killed people in 2014. This is an example of how this can save lives and stop people. And I say that because, you know, people who afraid, you know, we, the, you know, liberals and the Democrats want to take away their guns and want to take away the Second Amendment rights, which is not true at all. You know, we just want to keep guns out of hands of people that, you know, shouldn't, you know, have them. There are people that are not mentally stable. There are people that are extremely violent. I mean, if you're beating your wife and you have a gun, it's very possible you'll blow her brains out. And the list goes on. We now see, we saw for the first case, I think it was in Michigan, right? Two parents who have been prosecuted and will be incarcerated because, you know, they didn't do their due diligence as gun owners to be responsible in parents and keeping that firearm out of a child's hand that shouldn't have had access to, you know, that child. I may be nasty and I don't have guns in the house, so hopefully I won't eat my words someday. But, you know, I support, you know, that because, you know, so many of these shootings by the youth, where did the youth get the guns, you know, right? So this is something that will save lives. And when these people, you know, on the right or the, you know, extreme pro-gun and pro-gun groups and legislators, you know, they'll say, well, it doesn't stop. You can get a gun on the street, right? You can buy a gun on the street, you know, but like you point out, that is not the majority of where these guns are coming from. This guy bought, you know, one online, the shooter in the Midland and Odessa, Texas shootings. So, you know, speak to us, you know, about that, because that's what this comes down to, right? This really isn't politics. This is about saving lives. This is about saying we'll have one less, God willing, 10 less mass shooting, even one less child dying, one less person dying. That's a victory to me.
That's exactly right. And it was a powerful week last week. We had an event with several Columbine survivors, including a teacher who was a first-year teacher that year that's still teaching at Columbine High School. But Tom Mauser shared a beautiful story about his son, Daniel, who was very introverted but chose to overcome that fear by joining the debate team. And 2 weeks before the Columbine shooting, he went to his dad and said, hey, did you know that there's this gun show loophole and then the Brady Bill? And his dad's like, yeah, we got to get to school. You know, wasn't part of his daily conversation. And then 2 weeks later, his son was killed with, you know, a gun that was acquired through that loophole.
I have goosebumps, not good way. I didn't know that. I'd never heard that.
Yeah, and he still wears his son's shoes. They had the same size shoes, even though his son was in high school. And, you know, within a few days, the NRA had their big convention in 1999 in Colorado, and he's been demanding background checks, and he's been on this fight for 25 years, and we were finally able to have this event a week after the Engage in the Business rule and finally say there's been progress, and one law is not going to solve everything. As you said, we can close this loophole, but if people leave their guns in their cars or at their homes, people will still access them. We still need to close other loopholes and dating partner loopholes, but no one law solves everything. And I get really frustrated when I hear that. They're like, oh, there's always going to be another way to get a gun. I'm like, yeah, but it makes it a lot harder. And if you look at other countries with stronger gun laws, they have a lot less violence and they have the same amount of mental health issues or economic issues or other anxieties. And so it really is the guns. And yeah, every research shows stronger gun laws and investing in prevention and community violence intervention and victim services, that's how we're going to have safer communities.
Japan and Norway, two of those countries that have very strict gun laws or no guns and much safer societies, much happier people. And like you said, lower mental health, lower suicide rates, lower alcoholism, list goes on. I was talking to somebody who used to train Japanese women whose husbands, businessmen, were moving to the United States. And they had to, they had to train these women how to live in the United States. Because in Japan, if somebody takes your purse, you can fight him for it or her. You can fight them for, you can't do that here. You know, I mean, because they don't know the gun culture that sadly we live in, you know, and the gun society. that we live in. It's just terrific. This is a first step. It is a big step. It is a necessary step. Just in less than 30 seconds, last word you want to leave our listeners and viewers with today.
This accomplishment's only possible because of listeners like your audience who are demanding action and giving support to the Biden administration for their leadership. But it's only going to keep happening if we stay engaged and make sure that we vote in November. And so I really appreciate you shining a spotlight on this issue when there's so many other issues dominating the conversation. But I believe this will save lives as long as we implement it properly.
You know, this touches everybody. I was landing in Los Angeles very late Wednesday. I was landing in D.C. Late the other day, 2 days ago. And I had an alert that my daughter's school was on lockdown. There was a shooter at another school. It turned out to be a false alarm. I can tell you, I came as close to having a heart attack as I ever have. We all are touched by this violence in some way. It's horrific, whether you have a child or not. We are a community, and we need to make this community safer for ourselves, our children, and our children's children. Thank you, Nick, for being with us. Nick Wilson, Senior Director for Gun Violence Prevention at American Progress. Go to AmericanProgress.org. Find out more information. Follow Nick on X at Nick Wilson B. I'm Leslie Marshall. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and a safe one as well.